into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. This Friday and every Friday afternoon at 1:30, we pick through the carcass of the weekend's Premier League fixtures, deciding which ones you should invest in, which ones you should watch, which ones you should, you know, soon enough be able to have some outdoor pints with your mates instead of actually watching the game. Joining us this week, I'm delighted to say, the odds compiler from Paddy Power is Emmett O'Keefe. Emmett, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Oh. The early part of the NFL draft, but looking forward to the show and the weekend's football.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to bed. I went to bed early and then was like, it's 12 o'clock. It's going to start in an hour and a half. I could just stay up for this now. And then at 1:30, I was like, well, the first pick's already been 10 minutes late. So I ended up, it was 3 o'clock before I kind of rolled over. So I'm a little bit croaky this morning, but it was worth it in the end. There was plenty of good stuff to get stuck into. Who do you support?
I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, so I was very, very excited at the talk of Aaron Rodgers possibly being traded. He's kind of he destroys us nearly every year. So I think I'm hoping that the Broncos can pull off that trade.
I have not checked the odds, and I'm putting you on the spot. But is it odds against? Presumably, there's no chance that you really think this is going to happen, or do you?
I think the timing is a little odd that his kind of team leaked it the night of the draft. I would definitely say it's odds against, but they did draft the QB last year. I think there's clearly tension between him and the front office. And if Rodgers refused to play, I think that would put Green Bay in a difficult position as well.
It would do, but we all know that most tension in professional sport, there's one balm for that. It's money. Money cures all the tension in the world. So all I got to do is back up the Brinks truck again and say, we really love you for the next 3 years. Here is more money than anybody else is earning as a quarterback now. Get out there and play, Aaron. So we'll see what happens. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. And good afternoon to you. How are you?
Yeah, good.
You're obviously a Manchester United fan as well as a Celtic fan. I mean, that was one of the great Man United European performances. Imagine what would have happened if Old Trafford had been heaving.
Yeah, I know. Savage, in fairness to them. And it was one of those nights that, you know, it's funny when you watch the match on different channels, like the different style of commentators and what they're talking about, and all the halftime commentators were talking about on BT was Ollie should make a change now, get Mason Greenwood onto the pitch, and he stuck with his guns, stayed with the starting lineup that he went with, and it worked out pretty well for him, Jer. And with United now, Fernandes, Pogba, Cavani, with all three of them firing, I mean, there's not too many teams, especially in the Europa League, that are going to be able to handle them. And I think what's enjoyable about United now is not the fact that they're getting results. And this is the difference between Man United now and Man United under Mourinho. Mourinho was getting results, but they weren't good to watch.
No.
They're really good to watch now.
And look, we talked about the importance of trophies and trophies not being important or trophies being important. And I actually think sometimes trophies can be a complete fig leaf, as they were when Man United won the Cup and when they won the Europa League. But in this instance, if you're giving this group of players the confidence to know that on a big European night they can go and win something, then that's clearly going to be of residual value over the next couple of years. In Mourinho's case, it was like, I mean, I don't even remember that team using it in any way as a springboard to improve the following season, beyond the fact that obviously it qualified them for the Champions League. So we'll come back to that, obviously, because there's plenty of time for us to talk about those Europa League games, as Manchester United, it looks like, are almost certainly through to the final. So how do we get on with last week's specials?
Not great, in a word, because you can't win all of them. We had a couple of wins over the last couple of weeks, but we had Wolves to win 1-0, Jer, after
what happened?
Burnley won 4-0.
Right, so you were close there. This does not qualify for near miss.
No, not quite. But the next one actually does. We had one. It was none of the big six to win this weekend, and that excluded the Carabao Cup final. So four of the top six, or big six, as they call themselves. And it was actually quite high odds, and only Chelsea let us down in that West Ham game, beating them. It was a 1-0 it ended up.
And who scored?
I actually can't remember.
Timo Werner scored.
That's right.
Timo Werner undid you. And I mean, I think that there's certainly, you would have a case for anybody who backed that last week to send us an L. Ah, here, listen. I mean, if Timo Werner is the person who is undoing your winning bet, then that might qualify for near miss. I don't know. Emmett, you sit on the dodgy goal / near miss commission. Would something like Timo Werner undoing, is that, I mean...
Oh. Oh, 100%. I think the kind of there was a couple last week of the anyone who had an accumulator as well, let down by Liverpool getting done by Newcastle in 96 minute or whatever it was. I think it would have been very, very unfortunate as well.
Yeah, that was. I mean, it's Newcastle as well. That's super bonus points for Newcastle doing it against you. Okay, so this week, what have we got?
We are going for my favourite team, Brighton, to be relegated. We have Chelsea to win the double. That's Champions League and FA Cup. And this one is interesting as well because we kind of spoke about it there. Man United to better their tally this season, their tally under Mourinho when he finished second. So they finished with 81 points that year. United are on 67 at the minute, so they have to win every single game until the end of the season to finish with 82 points and above where Mourinho was in that season that he won the Europa League, finished second.
What? His greatest ever achievement. Why do you keep making
these crazy bets? I mean, I think it's a pretty...
It could be done at the weekend. They could draw at Liverpool.
It could be, or it could still roll on. Brighton 1 is an interesting one. Obviously, they are the team sitting just above the relegation zone at the minute, 34 points, 7 points ahead of Fulham. But Brighton have Leeds, Wolves, West Ham, Man City and Arsenal all to play before the end of the season. So they are not safe.
Leeds, Wolves in the middle of that. Did you say Wolves? Mighty Wolves. What did Wolves do last week? Last week, Wolves pitched tents, got the little umbrellas in their drinks and were playing beach volleyball at halftime.
Yeah, well, I think Brighton are under real threat here, and especially with the run into the end of the season. Then Chelsea to win the double, obviously we'll find out how close that'll be next week, but I think they've got a real chance under Thomas Tuchel of winning the Champions League FA Cup double. And after all the talk with Man City winning the quadruple, the fact that Chelsea can finish with a better double than Man City this year is absolutely brilliant.
Some of these are good, some of them are a bit crazy. Brighton to be relegated, what's the price on that?
Yeah, so we have them 20-1 on site, so that's boosted to 25-1 with the off the ball specials. Just it's funny with Brighton. One of my friends was kind of rubbishing expected goals to me this week, saying that based on the fact that Brighton are, I think, are fifth in expected points,
yes,
and then 17th in the table, and I kind of feel that Graham Potter's players might be kind of feeling the same way. It's hard to sell performance and progress and process when it's 33 games in and you're 17th,
yeah,
and you're losing to Sheffield United. So it's hard to see the teams behind them maybe catching up, but I could definitely see Brighton having a bad end to the season. Then Man United to finish 82 points or more, so they need to win their next five matches for this to win, as has been said. If they can get through this week, I think it is quite doable. Leicester is the only other difficult game outside of Liverpool this week, and I would expect United to finish strong. It'll help as well that the kind of Roma game is done and dusted, so they can focus really on the league until the Europa League final. And then lastly, Chelsea to win the Champions League and FA Cup. Yeah, they were around 11-2 on that, and then so that's boosted to 13-2 for the off the ball specials. I think it would crown off an unbelievable season for Thomas Tuchel, but I do expect them to get by Real Madrid, but I don't see them probably getting by the winner of City or PSG in the final.
It'll be a good game, certainly will be. If they make it, I think the whole 1-1 away from home is a great result. It's not really in European football in the semi-final stage. It's actually not, because what do? You be cagey? Do you go for it? How long do you be cagey for? And so many teams fall into a little bit of trap with that.
And especially against Real Madrid, yeah. Like, we're talking about whatever about how good this Real Madrid team are, the crux of that squad have won four Champions Leagues already. They know how to do it. And with Karim Benzema playing the way he is, and the league form's going in their favour now as well. Like, again, Zidane's...
You just recommended this bet to us, and now you're undoing, telling everybody they shouldn't do it.
I'm just saying, it's going to be a tight one for Chelsea.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. That's why maybe I might put people away from this one. Sorry, what was Man United's odds to better their points tally to win their next five games?
So that's 16-1 on that.
Okay. All right, that's a reasonable price. And if they win the game on Sunday, which of course you can hear live on Off the Ball on News Talk, then, well, That looked like a reasonable bet until the Leicester game. Before we get into the games, a reminder that every week we're running our near miss segment. Near miss gives you the chance to win even if you lose, but only if you nearly missed, hence the name. We were very clever about this one. It's aimed at allowing some of you to reclaim a losing bet stake, but in previous weeks we've given away 11 grand, 2.5 grand, and one lucky punter has always also won 1,400 euros. It's called near miss because if you have a Premier League bet with Paddy Power, or on a single bet or an accumulator, and it's fallen down because of an idiotic challenge or a stupid red card, tell us about it and our equivalent of the Dodgy Goals Commission will sit in judgment. It's all about the Premier League, so any losing bet that almost made it and you're feeling sore about are legitimate entries. Loads of different ways to enter. You can slide into our DMs on Instagram or on Twitter. Use the hashtag PPNearMiss on Twitter and we'll pick it up, or you can send your screen grab to us by WhatsApp on 087 9180 180. We're going to select a bunch of winners every week. Most of you will just get your stake refunded back into your account, but for some lucky punters, we'll actually pay out the full winning amount if we feel like they have deserved it. Every Friday at the end of the show, we'll announce the winners, and you can see all the T's and C's on otbsports.com, and stay tuned to our social channels for more details and reminders. So the fixtures this week, very quickly, Southampton against Leicester tonight at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, the 12:30 kickoff is Crystal Palace against Manchester City. Then 3 o'clock, it's Brighton against Leeds. At 5:30, Chelsea and Fulham. And then the evening kickoff on Saturday evening is Everton against Aston Villa. On Sunday, Newcastle against Arsenal from 2 o'clock. The big game of the weekend, Manchester United against Liverpool at 4:30 on Sunday. Spurs versus Sheffield United at 7:15. And then two games for you on Monday as well. West Brom against Wolves and Burnley against West Ham. They're the type of Monday fixtures I can get behind on a bank holiday Monday, because you don't feel anything about not seeing West Brom play Wolves. You can get involved with our Instagram polls as well every Thursday on Instagram. Follow us at Off The Ball. The votes will count only up until 10 o'clock on Friday morning. We're going to fly through some of these games because obviously we want to spend a bit of time talking about Manchester United against Liverpool. The first game, Southampton against Leicester. Southampton, 15% on Instagram think they're going to win. 85% think Leicester are going to win. You must now surely be fully on board the hype train. The resurgence of Kelechi Iheanacho is one of the great coaching achievements of our time. This is absolutely the new Shankly. He's like Arsene Wenger around the Invincibles era. Look at what he's done, and the man's a genius.
He's actually been asked quite a few questions in the lead up to this about taking over Tottenham, which is quite interesting because, I mean, does he have history of leaving a club at the tail end of a season and jumping ship and going to a rival? Then you'd say he does. But you know, like, he'll finish out the season. We'll see if he'll be with Leicester next year. The question is, though, right? So clearly, the question when he left Celtic was he was going to Leicester to be competing for the Champions League. Do you stay at Leicester or do you go to Tottenham? Which is the better option for Brendan Rodgers right now? Because on the face of it, Leicester actually are with the squad, but on the other side of it, Tottenham, brand new stadium, billionaire owner, probably going to pump big money into the club, probably the best number nine in the world playing for that team right now. So which do you go for if you're Brendan Rodgers?
I don't know. It's a good question. Like, maybe this Spurs job isn't the best job. Maybe he might get the Man United gig if he waits. Like, say Leicester reach a Champions League quarterfinal or semi-final, there is a possibility that instead of him being linked with the Spurs job, he gets linked with the Man United job whenever the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer experiment fails. Like, I don't know. It is a good question. And the billionaire owners, like, well, Leicester have got one of those as well, and they've seemed to have an excellent scouting system that has meant that they can sell Ben Chilwell and the whole thing chunders along actually improves because they reinvest the money. I'm not sure the Spurs gig is the amazing gig that everybody makes it out to be, and I would certainly buyer beware when it comes to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Leicester job is actually the better job for him right now, especially with the squad that he has at his disposal and the people working for him as well, and the fact that he doesn't have Daniel Levy as his boss. This game though, Leicester against Southampton, 8 o'clock tonight, Southampton are on the beach as well, they're done, so I think Leicester have this in the bag. Emmett, what's the odds in this one?
Yeah, so Southampton are 11-4, the draw 27-10, and Leicester 9-10. Yeah, as we've kind of Danny Ings is also absent for this game, and as we've kind of said throughout the season, Southampton are clearly an inferior side without him. Kind of in terms of a bet here, I look for the obvious one: Iheanacho to score first or to score any time. Yeah, first 4-1, any time is around 13-10. He's the best goals per minute ratio of any player in the league, and that's pretty incredible given he doesn't take penalties compared to the likes of Harry Kane, Bruno Fernandes, Mo Salah, etc. And I think I thought a few weeks ago that Leicester, until his kind of resurgence, Leicester would make the Champions League. League. I think, and I've kind of, he's turned me around. I think he can actually potentially be a world-class centre forward. I'm not certain this is a hot streak. Some of his touches in the box, some of his general play has really been outstanding.
I mean, it'd be terrible if it was a hot streak, because it's so bloody hot that, like, we'll all for the rest of our lives wonder whatever happened to Kelechi Iheanacho the end of the season. It was, but you know, history is littered with the Marco Negris of the world, who were world class unstoppable strikers for about 8 weeks, and then all of a sudden an eye injury puts pay to that. Let's move on. Crystal Palace against Manchester City at 12:30 on Saturday morning. Like, City must be feeling good about themselves. He's been relatively good about managing the playing stock recently, although you'd have to say it looked like in the Villa game and the game they lost, they weren't quite at it. And it turns out that this group of players are obsessed with winning the Champions League, and so it was a little bit spooking them, and they had the league already wrapped up, so maybe that's what it was about. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if this isn't a brilliant performance from Manchester City on the back of what we've seen. So I would say fewer goals. You expect City to win. Palace don't really care, as Enda says. What are the odds saying, Emmett?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I'd be hesitant to kind of to back City at short prices here. Palace are 17-2, the draw 4-1, and Man City are 3-10. Just kind of, I think it's definitely a good time for Palace to play City, given City will likely rotate most of their team. I think Palace might, if Palace get any joy, it'll be on the counter attack, and that kind of, and that's where I think the betting angle I like here is. I'd expect Fernandinho to start here, and give us Palace threats on the counter attack of Zaha, Eze, and Benteke. I think that he'll be in the firing line here. And I think the good thing about Fernandinho, if you ever back him for a card, even if they're 4-0 up, he'll always hold the man down. It's just who he is as a player, and he's been even more prolific in terms of accumulating cards this season as he's getting older and the legs are starting to go. So Fernandinho for a card around 7-2 looks to go better.
All right. And anything else from you?
No, I think this is the game that Man City can wrap up the league for good. So I'd expect a good performance from them.
So maybe
finish well, flourish.
And actually, you know what? Maybe that needs to be factored into this as well, because wrapping it up would then free up the last five games, and there's no lingering. Not that there's any doubt that anybody has anyway, but like, do you put the full team out, try and win this, get it done, they celebrate this, and then they use that as the power for the rest of the season? That's, you know, the motivation aspect in all these games is definitely worth teasing out. Brighton against Leeds, your beloved Brighton,
yeah,
who aren't safe.
People are looking at Leeds for this, and I think rightly so. And again, you're looking at motivation. Like, a lot of these games are going to be dead rubbers going into them, because Leeds are safe. They've had a brilliant season under Bielsa. But if you're looking at this from a game management perspective, Brighton are exactly the type of team that Leeds can do a lot of damage to, because they will attack them. They're very blunt going forward. They don't score many goals. They do attack quite a bit. But then if Leeds can get them on the counter-attack, then you do think Leeds will absolutely destroy them going forward. So I think this is going to be a tough game for Brighton. Leeds have been sort of lackluster over the last couple of weeks. I mean, the United game that was definitely not going to finish 0-0, Jer, finished 0-0. And yeah, I think this one is one for the Leeds fans. I think they're going to enjoy this one, and I think Brighton are going to be in more trouble after this one.
Emmett?
Yeah, I'd echo Enda's thoughts there. The Brighton are 11-10, the draw 12-5, and Leeds 23-10. I think we saw kind of a different type of approach from Leeds, where they're basically tactical fouling all United wide players to avoid a repeat of the six goals they conceded at Old Trafford. I think they'll definitely play a more open style here. It's not ideal that Rafinha missed out for Leeds. I do think he's one of the best players outside the top four. But I think Brighton are unbackable at current prices, especially after last week's result at Sheffield United. Yeah, and I think this possibly could be a low scoring game, so if you're backing Leeds, I might do a draw no bet around 7-5, so you'll get your money back if it's a draw here.
Okay. Chelsea against Fulham at 5:30 on Saturday. I love these games where 91% of you think Chelsea are going to beat Fulham. Just hesitate for a second, because we are in the midst of one of those Champions League semi-finals where it's back to back, it's next week, it's like no real time for them to consider what's going on. Having said that, they do want to have a top four finish in their pocket, so they're guaranteed Champions League football next season, and Tuchel knows that. So again, what do you do? Do you put out absolutely everybody and just try and get them through the second leg of the semi-final, and then there'll be a bit of a rest? Or do you try and manage those resources? I'm not sure, and again, I'd be waiting before kickoff for investing in this one. I presume Chelsea are very short prices, Emmett.
Yeah, so Chelsea are 4-9, the draw 16-5, and Fulham are 13-2. Yeah, based on the season-long stats, you'd expect kind of a low-scoring Chelsea win, with Chelsea keeping 10 clean sheets in their last 14 Premier League matches, and Fulham being the second lowest-scoring team in the league. But given Fulham's motivation, having to win, I think this might be possibly a more open game. But yeah, I'd hesitate to have a bet in it. Just worth mentioning, I think, about Timo Werner, though, just about his finishing. There's a huge amount of statistical evidence that there's a lot of randomness to finishing in football. A couple of examples of this would be Diego Iota last year had a very similar expected goal figure with Wolves as he has with Liverpool this season, but his goal return has been one in every two league games this year as opposed to one in every five with Wolves. And there's actually, Liverpool seem to be actually targeting players that have kind of high expected goals but poor finishing, and believing that the finishing will regress to the mean. And Mo Salah and then Sadio Mane had similar profiles that at Rome at Southampton. So my point is with Timo Werner, I wouldn't, if you're a Chelsea fan, I wouldn't give up hope. I think this, like I said, he was extremely prolific with Leipzig. I wouldn't surprise me if he bounces back to be one of the leading scorers in the Premier League next season.
Pretty streaky. Had definitely gone through this period, a similar period of bad misses at Leipzig, and then scored loads of goals. So we'll see. And anything on this?
No, I think it's a relatively straightforward game in terms of, you know, Fulham are fighting relegation. They're not scoring a lot of goals, though, and Chelsea are quite tough to break down. So I'd worry about Fulham. I don't think they have a chance in this game, to be honest.
Everton against Aston Villa at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. It is 68%. Everton, 32% is Villa. The late equaliser for Villa against West Brom gave the Villa fans something to cheer about, but ultimately the end of the season is going to be remembered for this is what the team will look like if they sell Jack Grealish. They need to buy somebody to replace Jack Grealish who might be able to play with him as well, on the off chance that he decides to stick around. Because, you know, if you are the billionaire owners of Aston Villa, you realise that it's nice having nice things, and Jack Grealish is as nice as there is in the Premier League. All the stats show it. From Everton's perspective, like, Everton are going to look back on this season as a massive missed opportunity, because they're right there in the race for top four, and there have been so many times where they've disappointed in games like this, where you would expect them to be able to face a so-called lesser team who aren't playing particularly well and get the win. But they've just been flaky too many times for me.
Yeah, I mean, replacing a player like Jack Grealish is not going to be easy for anyone, let alone for a mid-table side like Aston Villa. But just on this game for Everton, if you compare their home form to their away form, it's night and day. Like, and I would consider that going into this game as well. Everton's home form, 16 played, 5 wins so far this year at home, 7 losses and a negative goal difference, averaging about 1.1 points per game at home. Compare that to their away form, 16 games, 10 wins, 3 losses, and a positive goal difference of 7, 2.6 points per game away from home. They're playing at home against Aston Villa this weekend, so that is definitely something to consider going into this.
Okay.
Odds. Yeah, I was actually just going to use end of stats there, so he beat me to the punch. Everton evens the draw 5-2 and Villa 13-5. Yeah, as you've said, I think it's a really hard game to call. I think Everton are definitely better suited to playing on the counter attack, where they can use Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin's kind of pace and power. So I think definitely no better recommendation here, despite Everton having the greater motivation with still a chance of European football.
All right. Newcastle against Arsenal kicks off at 2 p.m. on Sunday. It has been just the end of the season that Newcastle fans were like, oh, great, Steve Bruce gets to stick around for another year, but we do stay in the Premier League. So it's like, oh, what is it? And also, Saint-Maximin is playing so well that maybe he is the target for a lot of transfer activity in the summer. I don't know. Maybe people want to see a full season, and the injury issues might mean that Newcastle get to keep him for next year. So Newcastle are safe. Remarkably, I'm surprised. I thought that they were going to have an Icarus-like collapse. But Arsenal, man, you ain't getting any of my money back in Arsenal these days. So what's happening here?
Yeah, so the betting markets agree with you, basically, Ger. The Newcastle are 5-2, the draw 5-2, and Arsenal are evens. But Newcastle have probably been the biggest mover of all Premier League teams this week. They've been backed in from 7-2 to 5-2 for this match, and you can really see why. As you said, the Premier League just a distraction for Arsenal. All their season really depends how the Europa League campaign finishes. And Newcastle are playing their best football of the season with Alan Saint-Maximin to the fore, and Callum Wilson probably ready to start here. Newcastle are now, they've shortened to 8-11 for win or draw double chance. That's probably a little bit short for me, but if you are back in this game, I would definitely lean towards Newcastle.
Anything, Andy?
No, I agree. I think Newcastle are on form. It's the type of form that Mike Ashley wants from Steve Bruce. He wants them to keep him just about above the relegation zone so he doesn't have to spend any money but stay in the Premier League.
This is the best achievement of Steve Bruce's career, by the way. Like, I make no bones about it. He's kept the team in the Premier League for successive years. Like, he couldn't do it with Villa under fairly similar circumstances, and fair play to him, because definitely as a Villa fan was like, you guys are going down, there's no prospect of safety, and here he is shoving those words down my throat two seasons in a row. So fair play, Brucey. Let's move on. Manchester United against Liverpool, it's the big game of the weekend, 4:30 on Sunday, live and off the ball on News Talk. 58% for Man United, 42% for Liverpool. The Newcastle game coming in the period that it came, that it seems for whatever reason Liverpool took the whole Super League stuff on the chin a bit more than a bunch of other teams, because they were playing more around that time and their manager had to be the public face of it. I don't know if it had some kind of impact on them, but again, Liverpool's away form has been good, so I don't really expect Manchester United to batter them. And yet Man United's second half performance against Roma was so good. It's like, oof, this is, again, it's interesting. What do you do if you're going to Solskjaer? Do you pick your full best team, safe in the knowledge that the second leg from the Roma game is actually pretty straightforward?
I think you drop Marcus Rashford. I've been banging on about this for the last couple of weeks, but again, he came off during the week against Roma, and just give him a rest. When, like, for these games, you know, there's nothing really at stake for United in this. They're safe in the top four. And in the Europa League, they probably don't need to use him next week either. They've got Greenwood, they got Dan James. I would expect Dan James to come into the team and just give these key players a rest. Harry Maguire as well. Interesting enough on Harry Maguire, he has played more minutes than over 400,000 players in Europe this year. Number one in the list of players across all top five leagues to have played the most amount of minutes. And that's spanning across 400,000 players. So give him a rest. Give Marcus Rashford a rest. Bring maybe give Cavani a rest as well. I don't know. He seems to be a starting player. But I think going into this game as well, you're looking at United's form at coming back from deficits. And Liverpool have been a team that have been giving away wins, giving away leads often this season. Klopp was giving out about it last week as well. So Liverpool potentially to take the lead here, United to maybe get a draw or a win. So I think that might be a good bet. Liverpool half-time, United full-time. Emmett, do the odds reflect that, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of it's an interesting one. I think the odds, Man United are 17-10, the draw 12-5, and Liverpool are 6-4. Yeah, the motivation angle here and the only 3 days after the Europa League is why probably Liverpool are favourites here. But in terms of bet, I think the kind of a low-scoring draw looks most likely. Three of the four matches, the last league matches these teams have played, have ended in a draw. And I'd expect United to kind of conserve energy, sit deep and play in the counter-attack. And I really wouldn't have much faith in Liverpool's ability to break them down. So I think a kind of a cagey one-all. Just kind of one note on Edson Cavani. I think he's one of my favourite players, I think, to have played for United in the last 20 years, in terms of not just he's the second best open play goals per minute ratio in the Premier League this year. Admittedly, he hasn't played all the matches for United, but I think it is a reflection of how good he's been when he's been on the pitch, and his work rate, link-up play, and I think he's all but absolutely superb. His first touch for Bruno Fernandes' goal last night was truly brilliant. And I think for a bet here, I like Harry Maguire to be carded, as I've kind of said a few times on the show. He leads the league in cards, and I think, as Enda said, the kind of fatigue is definitely playing a part in some of his performances. So you can back him for a card at around 13-5.
Okay, 13-5 for Harry Maguire to get a card. As I said, that game live and off the ball on News Talk on Sunday. Spurs against Sheffield United at 7:15. The perfect game for Ryan Mason. 86% say Spurs, 14% say, you know, there's always a kick in the team who get relegated, as we saw last week. Came a week later than that already. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. You were talking to Ryan Mason just today.
I was, yeah. I was in the press conference there. He's a feisty character. He's, you know, he has a baby face, but God, he's straight talking. It's very interesting.
Game recognised game, Enda.
Well, that's it. He was speaking about the social media blackout, obviously. Some stuff about Harry Kane, was absolutely not having any discussion about Harry Kane leaving the club. He was like, that is not my decision and I'm not getting involved in any conversation. And I asked him about, because Tottenham are giving away leads, sort of like Liverpool, have gone ahead, having won the game, and he bit back at that one as well. So he brought up a result that I forgot to mention, that they actually came back from behind to win. So yeah, he's an interesting character. I think he's holding himself like a Premier League manager. Whether he'll develop into that going forward is an interesting.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers would like having that character around?
Oh, he's a great character. Great human being as well.
Spurs odds on favourites for this?
Yeah, Spurs, I think Spurs very shorter. Spurs are 1-4, the draw 9-2, and Sheffield United 10-1. Yeah, one of these games where I think Spurs are unbackable here, and Sheffield United just are too poor to have confidence of backing them, but I would lean their way in terms of bet. Yeah, and you'd have to have a doubt about Harry Kane playing here. I think he was obviously motivated to come back from injury to play for the cup final, but I would presume now his main focus would be staying fit for England in the summer. So I think potentially him being absent, I think you couldn't be confident Spurs at all here.
Okay, West Brom against Wolves on Monday at 6 p.m. Can Big Sam keep West Brom up? No, 43% say West Brom, 57% say Wolves. You're not paying attention, lads. It's definitely going to be a West Brom win in this game, right? I mean, I know it's a derby, blah blah blah, but unless Nuno feels like his job is actually at risk, which I don't think he does.
No, I think there's a West Brom win written all over it, to be fair. They're playing really good football actually in the last couple of weeks, and if they can go ahead and keep that lead, then they should be able to get past this Wolves side. I mean, Wolves are so disappointing. It's boring, really. This is not a game to watch.
No, this is not. But I mean, you know, I think I can make the case for backing West Brom in this.
Yeah, it's an interesting one here. The odds are 17-10 for West Brom, the draw 21-10, and Wolves 13-8. I would say Nuno and Steve Bruce have probably benefited from not having fans at the matches, because the Wolves and Newcastle crowds can be, I think, two of the most rancorous in the Premier League. And I think at certain points this season they would have really lost the rag and made it more difficult for both managers. I think just nothing speaks more to Wolves' decline this year than Adama Traore. He's only one goal scored and two assists this season, having been kind of the revelation of last season. But last year, Raul Jimenez scored seven of Traore's assists. So it was Traore running down the wing, crossed the ball into the box, Jimenez nodding it in. Jimenez hasn't been there, and Traore's production's completely dried up. And I think, yeah, as you guys said, very hard to have any confidence in Wolves here.
All right, Burnley against West Ham is the final game of the weekend. West Ham have kind of cooled a little bit recently, but Burnley obviously 4-0 winners last week. Not getting any respect from our Instagram followers. 26% Burnley, 74% West Ham. I don't know what to do with this, to be honest.
I think West Ham are struggling with their injuries. They've got four or five key players out injured, and I think this has been stuck in my head since he said it, just because Mark Lawrenson is quite good friends with David Moyes, and said something really interesting about a month and a half ago on Off the Ball about David Moyes saying it's Champions League or bust. He doesn't want to be in the Europa League. It's too busy, it's too congested, and they don't have the squad depth to compete in a competition like the Europa League. So I think that might be something to look at here. West Ham might be happy enough to drop out of that fifth position and let someone like Everton in.
Interesting point.
I actually think this possibly could be one of the best games of the weekend. I know West Ham doesn't scream that, but I think just the way these two games are playing, I think this might be an exciting game. Burnley are 2-1, the draw 12-5, and West Ham are 6-5. Yeah, Sean Dyche has actually gone for a more attacking approach in their last six games. They're pressing higher up the pitch, and that does leave them more open defensively. But they are much more of a threat in attack. In their last six matches, there's been 19 goals in those games. So I think you wouldn't have Burnley down as the great entertainers, but they kind of have been to some extent. And I think over 2.5 goals at even money looks a solid bet here. Given I think as Enda said, maybe in the last few games of the season they might try and tank those, but I think this game they'll certainly be trying to win. So I think that'll hopefully lead to a more open game.
Because it's not gone for them just yet. It's a fair point. Yeah. Over 2.5 goals is always relatively enjoyable to watch, certainly if there's one in the first half you feel like you've got your money's worth. Let's go down to near miss this week. So we have four entries getting their €20 free bet back. What were the stories behind these, Emmett?
Yeah, so I think it was one obvious one for a near miss here. I think the customer had a six stake accumulator, which five of which have won, and the but the losing stake was let down by Liverpool being Liverpool conceding to Leeds in a game that happened 12 days ago. This was €20 stake to win €500, and the customer would obviously felt fairly sickened by being let down by Leeds' late equaliser. So we're happy to pay out on this, and for all the other four entrants who sent in this week, we're giving them €20 free bets as well.
All right, nice one. So we're paying out the full £500 to that guy.
Absolutely, and then for €20 for bets for all entrants. So all right. we're encouraging all entries.
Hashtag PP near miss on Twitter. Slide into our DMs on Instagram or WhatsApp us as the winner did this week. 087-9180-180. Sometimes I forget that number. 087-9180-180. 180. That's the number for it. Emmett, and good stuff. That's this week's Paddy Power Half Hour. It's in the books for another week. Enjoy the weekend's football. We'll see you next Friday. Bang on 1:30 across all of our social channels. Until then, take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.